Well, good morning, everybody. If you are a guest here, welcome to New Life. My name is Dave Allum. I am not normally the pastor here. So if something's not right, just blame it on me and the real guy will be back next week. But I did have the opportunity to be here on staff actually for a couple years, and I was leading the music here. So it's I kind of feel like a guest coming back in, but at the same time, it's kind of family reunited. So it's been a fun time last service and then again this morning. So I do want to say thank you, though, to the leadership and Mike. It's one thing to come in and lead music. It's another thing to be entrusted with the Word of God to the people that are being guided here. So it's fun, and I do thank you for the privilege to be here this morning. So as I was going through trying to figure out, you know, you want to start with something funny, usually helps. And so I thought, man, what could be funny? And I have three kids under the age of five. That's not the funny part. That's not the funny part. But nothing really was coming out. There's a lot of, you know, a lot of lessons learned. But I'll ask this question: has anybody, and participation is good, just raise your hand if you've ever seen a weed eater. Weed eater, right? Okay. Raise your hand if you've used a weed eater. And what about if you've ever taken one apart to fix it? Yeah, so broken strap to start the weed eater. So I do what every good American does now, which is I read one blog post and watch a YouTube clip, and I'm an instant expert. So I buy the replacement string, I go in, I take, dismantle the thing, put it all together, set it aside for a minute, go help with lunch, and come back. Yank, yank, and a whapoing. Rip the handle, rip the string again. Back to the store, test number two. So that kind of related to preaching this morning because I had two chances to try it and was more efficient the second time. So I told the first service that they probably got the longer version of the teaching. You guys will get the streamlined version because just like refixing the weed eater a second time, kind of get to go through this again. But this is good. So many of us have things that we like, hobbies or stuff that we enjoy learning about. Maybe for me, I love music and really into fitness stuff and cars and all kinds of things. But what is it? Some people are into golf, I know. I don't know why, but they're into golf. But many, many different things. And when you think about something that you enjoy and you watch something, someone who's really good at it, it seems so easy, doesn't it? Effortless. I've actually watched golf on TV a couple of times, and it just looks, you know, whew, the ball soars, and then you go, and can I try that again? You know, but it looks easy and effortless, and then there's a favorite show that we watch comes out after the kids go to bed. It's called American Ninja Warrior. Has anybody ever heard of this or seen it? Okay, so this is like the obstacle course for like superhumans. These are like people that are incredibly fit and they have all these athletic obstacles to go through and go over. And if you land in the water, you're out, you know, and you're kind of racing time against each other. But just imagine, okay, not just doing a pull-up, but having to do a pull-up, hold onto the bar and jump up to the next thing up and do that about five times in a row and then swing over to something and all these different obstacles. And when you watch on TV, you're kind of thinking, I think I could do that. Okay, maybe not that, but the first one where they jump from little, you know, plate to plate or whatever they're doing. And then I'm sure if you got there to see this setup, it would seem larger than life, like just massive stuff, kind of like shooting the green that's 400 yards away. You see it on TV and the camera just zooms right over and you're there already, but when you actually look and you can't see where you're actually hitting the ball to, it's kind of big. Well, in this scripture that we're looking at here, this is Luke chapter 9. When we look ahead, previously, in chapter 8, we close with things, these titles. The disciples are with Jesus, and these couple titles of Jesus calms the storm, Jesus healing a demon-possessed man, raises a girl from the dead, heals a sick woman, all of these things, which the disciples are kind of watching Jesus, and I'm sure they're kind of like, I could do a little bit of that. But then at the same time, you see him raise somebody from the dead and kind of like, yeah, maybe not. Maybe I don't have that one, you know? I'm sure it seemed larger than life. And so he actually pulls them together at the beginning of chapter 9. And we'll look at this real quick. He says, when Jesus called the 12 together, he gave them power and authority to drive out all demons and to cure diseases. So if we pause right there, they probably didn't wake up that morning going, feeling like curing people today. Jesus kind of was looking ahead, knowing what's coming later and actually soon through the cross and what happens there. And he's saying, okay, we got to get these guys with some belief. We've got to get them some faith in the works that I'm going to leave with them. So he gives them power and authority to drive out demons and to heal the sick. And he says, now go and do, then with some instructions. Take nothing for your journey. They were the disciples, which are just like us, so they needed some more explaining. What does that mean, take nothing? So no staff, no bag, no bread. Jesus, you're crazy. No money, no extra shirt. Seems odd. Like, should I heal people in a clean shirt, dirty shirt? Like, just go and have faith. You know, don't even take food. So they set out and went from village to village, preaching the gospel and healing people everywhere. So they actually go out and they're doing. These are people like you and I that were hanging around Jesus. He gives them power and authority and says, go and do. And they did. It seems crazy to us nowadays because we're worried, like, you know, do I have enough gas in the car to get where I'm going? Not like this person that is sick or seemingly possessed. Can I heal that person? That's not really where we're thinking right now. But Jesus said, hey, I give you power and authority. Now go out and do. And they did. And so it's kind of interesting when we look at kind of this first point of good versus great. The disciples were probably past, for the most part, making bad choices. Now, they weren't the smartest bunch, we know that. But a lot of times they had grown past, like, should I do something bad or good? They're on the route of doing good and a lot of good. And if we're honest with ourselves, most of us in this room are past good and bad. We still all sin. We understand that. But when we look at our decisions of what we do with our life, it's usually not a good versus bad anymore. It's usually now we do so many good things. The question is, can God actually through us do great things? Or are we pulled in so many different directions? There was a message that I was listening to a couple weeks ago. It was called Death by Distraction. And in the old days, and I'll keep this kid friendly, in the old days, in the medieval times, there was a practice called quartering. And if you think about in your mind what that looked like, the French actually called that distraction, where you're just pulled in so many different directions. And so if you think about that in our lives right now, we are committed to lots of things, right? We're doing this, we're doing that. And don't forget about the person who just had a baby that we need to bake some food for and take over there. And then we've got this and the committee over here and, you know, and all good things. But the first question, the disciples were probably seeing all these things. And this is the first time that they had power or faith in their power to heal. Could they focus on that to actually do these great things? And I think it took God's focused direction of, I give you power and authority now, go and do. But don't take anything with you. You may be distracted by it. Just go and have faith, and I will work miracles through you to the people that you're with. And so we have all these good things, and then there's the question of great. And an example, Mike said, well, you know, is there something that you're working through right now that maybe you can, you know, would be relevant to the message? I said, well, last week, actually, you know. So many of you that know me know that I started a couple years ago a ministry in the city that reaches out to 20 and 30 year olds, and it's doing very well. And it's a ministry, it's a calling, it's reaching people for Christ, and it's something good. But in this season where I'm in right now, I'm actually trying to strategically work my way out of that leadership role. For one main reason, And that's that I'm, it's a good thing, but somebody else can run that ministry and continue to do great things through God. I'm the only one that can be the father to my children. And so when I look at this, I'm pulled in so many ways of doing good things that my focus is such that I need to kind of, for this season, regroup and focus on the kids. And so it's kind of this tough challenge that we all run into in multiple different seasons of life. But we want to do so many good things, but can we focus on a couple things that God can do greatness through us? And so the disciples take this directive of go and do, and that's it, period. And don't take anything else with you. I spoke with John Butler after the first service, and he said, you know, I was thinking about that, and like, that's a pretty tough task. Don't take anything with you. No food, no money. No clothes, no extra clothes. You know, wherever you land, spend the night there, preach about God's goodness and his word and his kingdom, and then go on to the next place. And like, it doesn't, I don't think it tells us how many days, but you know, they were out there for a little bit of time. And that's pretty much Jesus. You know, when you reflect on Jesus' 33 years, the first 30, we know that he was, part of what he did as a trade was carpentry work. But in the 3 years that we read about his ministry work, he didn't take a sabbatical from healing and stuff to go back and build a house, right? He kind of stopped all that. He didn't really have the nest egg to lay on. He just went and had faith and went and did. And the disciples got to watch that. But he said, hey, how about you guys try that? Go and have faith and I will provide. So when we look later on, then they come back, and we skip over to verse 10. So they've gone out, they've taken this power and authority, and they come back, and it says, when the apostles returned, they reported to Jesus what they had done. High fives. Did you see how he healed that lady? That was amazing. And oh, what about this? You know, and so they're talking about everything that they had done. Well, then he, Jesus, took them with him and withdrew to the town called Bethsaida. The crowds learned about it and followed him. So imagine being a disciple. You have now gone out. You've actually done some miracles yourself. This is amazing. You want to kind of take a break, sit back, you know, okay, now we can plan on some food. Let's clean the clothes. And wait a minute, now these people are coming back up here. So Jesus, back in example mode, he says, it says that he let the crowds come in. He welcomed them, spoke to them about the kingdom of God, and healed those who needed healing. They're kind of realizing this is 24/7. Like, there's a lot of needs out there. But with that focused direction earlier, they were able to do miracles. The more distracted we get, the more pulled we get, the more challenged it is. Because when we really look at Jesus' ministry, a lot of it's based on relationships. And how many people can you really relate to if you're, you know, here and there and there and there and there and there. And again, all good things. And that's the challenge that's so hard, because it's not good versus bad. It's good versus great. So late in the evening, the 12 came to him and said, the crowd's getting a little restless, a little hungry. Can we send them away and they can get food for the night and some lodging? And he says, you give them something to eat. I kind of looked at that and I was like, the term humble pie, I thought of food, kind of came to mind. But, okay, so you guys were out healing. Well, can you guys feed all these people? Like, there's 12 of y'all, there's one of me. Can you guys feed all these people maybe, you know? And where was their faith in that? But he says, all right, bring me what you got. So the old Captain D's happy meal, you know, fish and loaves, and he takes it, he blesses it, breaks it, and feeds the 5,000. And again, the disciples are watching this. Wow, that's amazing. They've seen him do it before, yet still amazed. And many people ask, myself included, when he breaks the fish, does it just like, hey, another fish grows, you know, like breaks it again, another fish grows, break the bread, and a full loaf appears. I don't know. But we trust in the Bible, we trust in the Word of God, and so we just trust that however it happened, that's why they call it a miracle. And he fed all of these people. Again, the Bible says 5,000. In that day, they counted men. So we know there were women and children, probably closer to 10, 12, even 15,000 people that he fed in an afternoon. You know, again, larger than life. And then when you're there, like, wow, that's amazing. So the second thing is, when we look at this, is that no matter what your needs are, God can provide. And that's kind of the next point here. God wanted the disciples to get prepared to go and be the church and build the church, to go and take this power and authority. And so he had to give the power and authority to them. Side note, he spoke and gave the power and authority to them, right? It was with his word. We were driving home the other night, and the sun was huge, and it was starting to set and look huge, big and orange. And the kids from the back row were, you know, like, "Daddy, look at the sun." And I was like, you know, "Why is it so bright?" So, well, it's a big ball of burning gas, you know? "No, it's the sun, Daddy." I said, which is a big ball of burning. We know scientifically it's this, but it looks just like a big sun. And I said, "How about this? God put the sun there with a word, and all things in motion with a word. And that word is carrying true today and will continue, because we know the sun's going to stay here for a while. But with his one word, set all things in motion." I didn't hear a lot from the back row. It was kind of this blank, like, "It's still a bright sun, Daddy." But with a word, God can give power and authority. And I wonder this morning if somebody needs a word, whether it's for healing or for discernment. Maybe it's a word for rejoicing. You're allowed to rejoice in the blessings that God's given you. You know, maybe it's for acceptance. But God's one word can bring clarity and can bring all things, and we trust with the word of God. And again, how he has put all things in motion. He has created all, yet he knows you and your needs. And so it's pretty amazing then when we see that this process where he takes and sets people down in groups of 50, it says, and he's going to perform this miracle of feeding so many people. And so we look at this process. Again, we read about it a couple times, but this one specifically, he takes what they had, he blesses it, he breaks it, and he gives it away. And so as we think about potentially being distracted and focusing good to great, maybe your situation is like mine, where you need someone else to take place of something that you love and hold dear. You need that leader. You need God to provide somebody else to come into that place. But at the same time, in that provision, you need to be able to let God take that thing and run with it. Take it off of my back so that you can do great things through it. There's somebody else maybe waiting that's their time and season to be in that place. So letting God take things, sometimes though, doesn't it feel like it's been taken out from underneath you? Kind of the rug's been pulled out. That's not as easy to swallow. But again, we fall into the Bible and we look at the Bible that says, in all things, give glory and honor to God. You know, he didn't say the walk was going to be easy, but he's there with you the whole time. So he takes, then he blesses. And this is the one that many times we in our culture are, we're easy to get callous to. We look at everything and say, "Hey, look at what I've got," as opposed to look at what God has provided. You know, God provides a job for you. God provides income for you. God provides what you need. But more than just monetary things, God provides an opportunity for you to build relationships, to come into a church family and be built up together. And so do we give thanks for the blessing? This is power and authority right there. That's good. I was hoping he was going to use the international symbol for invisible, which is when you bend down like this, because then instantly nobody can see you. So looking at this, we've got where Jesus takes and then Jesus blesses, but then comes the brokenness. You know, Jesus breaks the bread in order to multiply it. And I was reflecting on this going, okay, what in my life needs to be broken that it can be distributed further? And a lot of times when we're coming to meet Christ, we feel that we are, that term broken, we find ourselves kind of at the end of the rope, holding on with no other place to go, just to find out that Jesus is the one that's actually holding us up. And then we can trust in him fully. But what is it that maybe needs to be broken in your life? And sometimes, again, it's not easy to understand that or relate to it, but again, trusting that God has a plan, because then after it's broken, it's given out. And so maybe in our time of brokenness, you know, we always hear the phrase, it's a setback. It's not a setback, it's a setup, you know. But God's plan is greater than our plans. His thoughts are greater than our thoughts. And so as we look at how he can take and bless and then break, all for the purpose of giving. He's a good God, and he gives. The devotion with my kids last night was just a verse that said, give thanks to God because he's good. It's not easy in the time of brokenness, but looking at it and saying, give thanks to God because he is good. So when we look at this process of taking, blessing, breaking, and then giving, we see it where he's feeding thousands of people, right? And he does that a couple of times. But then we also see it in the Last Supper. He does this process. Now, he's only with 12 people at that point, but it's a much bigger calling. He is pouring out and breaking his body for all of us, spiritually nourishing everyone. But in the process, whether he's sitting around a table with 12 people or in front of packs and packs of 50s of people and thousands of people to feed, he provides wherever needed, right? We see him time and time again, whether it is the one word that started the world and the earth and the sun and all that we know that carries through today, or it's just looking back at how far he has brought us to this point and trusting that he will be the God that continues. Thus, God can provide, because a lot of times, and I had a little boy ask me about those three words after the first service, which was incredible, but he said, shouldn't it be God will provide? Valid. I said, I chose God can provide because a lot of times, although we read scripture and we read the Bible and we know what the scripture says, we still question whether he can provide for our situation. We still wonder, can God provide for me right now? I've read about all these crazy things that he's done, but can he provide now is the question. Thus, yes, God can provide. So when we look at this, just kind of looking through these scriptures, there's so many things that we get pulled to do, whether it's something good, whether it's teaching this, whether it's fixing a weed eater, again, whatever the case is, we have things to do. And we get pulled in different places. And I think the question is not, when you leave here, what things do I automatically give up? But I think it's just a question to evaluate, where are you and doing good things, but what are the couple things? Are there a couple things that God really is calling you to in this season that he can really be great through you in? You can focus and pour into those things and those people, but trust that there are others that are excited about the other things that you seemingly will have to let him take away. That's hard. That's where I'm at. Passion for this, passion for that, a love for this. But there are other people. And so God, can you provide for those to see them through. Yes, he can. So what I want to do, and as I'm starting to kind of end this, I want to take and actually guide us in some prayer time and give us a chance. I'm a firm believer that when the scriptures are read and heard and taught on, that we all, whether believers or non-believers, are called to a response. So it typically we'll find that through prayer, he can help kind of just focus us, center us. So what I want to do is if the musicians can come back up, we'll just spend a couple minutes. I'm going to guide us through this time and looking to say, okay, God, you with a word can give power and authority so that your work can be done. But then to refine the process, can you take and bless and break so that we can be given into specific things for greatness to see your work truly actually multiply through that? So if you would, just take a moment and let's bow our heads and close our eyes. So Lord, in this moment, in this time, would you just reveal to us, Lord, reveal your spirit within us, and Lord, reveal the places to us that we're actively doing your work. And Lord, just like the disciples, we come alongside and we say, Lord, I feel called to do this, but I don't feel adequate. So Lord, can you start to sow in more faith in you into us? And Lord, in that process of taking, are there things that are on our mind already that we know, God, you need to take that? I'm giving it to you, please take it. Or God, it's tough, but I know I need you to take it. And Lord, as we look at the blessings, may we count our blessings, resting on the fact, Lord, that you are in control. You have already provided for us, that we can give praise to you, that we can honor you through those things that you've given to us. And then, Lord, brokenness, if we're honest, Lord, we've been through some stuff in our lives. It doesn't take but looking back through the past 12 months or even a couple of years, Lord, to look and see a time where we have been broken. Seemingly at the end of that rope, whether we've known you our whole lives or whether we've never known you at all, Lord, holding onto that rope, clutching, saying, how will we get past this? Feeling broken, all to realize that you are there holding us with your righteous hand. So Lord, then we come to giving, and if it's not just giving of stuff, but Lord, giving our attention, giving our focus, which does require time. Lord, where do you need us to be willing to give so that your will be done here on earth? Lord, you are a good God. In all things, we come to give you glory and honor. But it does take us looking back to see where you have brought us and have provided so that we can have that faith built and renewed to go forward. So Lord, bring your spirit in to help discern. And as we sing through this final song, Lord, just awaken our hearts to the work that you're doing. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.